Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Break it, you're not the same as anyone here, but we can take it. We're short, we're brown, we're round and we're queer. I've got a feeling we are onto something here.
Live from King's Place in London, the Spontaneity Shop presents Global Pillage, the comedy panel show starring you, the hive mind of the audience.
Trouble might be coming your way. In it together, I think that's what I heard the man say. I've got a feeling we are gonna be okay.
Mark Hodge, everybody! Hello, I'm Deborah Frances White, and this is Global Pillage, the comedy panel show in which we pillage the globe for hysterical facts about Homo sapiens and all their odd ways, interesting idioms, and crazy kinks. In this show, we discovered all people are created equal and are equally weird, except some are more equal than others. Meet the comedians! On my left, playing for Unevenly Weighted, Athena Coblenou and Desiree Birch.
Hello there.
And on my right, playing for Monsters of Rock, Jessica Regan and Yasmin Akram. So, firstly, Unevenly Weighted. Why are you called Unevenly Weighted?
Well, we were initially called Unevenly Weighted Black Team because we wanted to make everyone as uncomfortable as humanly possible by bringing up that fact.
You might as well have called it White Guilt.
Yes. Obviously, the whole point is to, like, be inclusive and diverse and whatnot. And I was actually pleased that you didn't try to distribute the black people evenly throughout the room.
Well, yes,
you know,
Irish.
To make everyone feel comfortable. It's just like, let's just point it right out.
No, well, Yasmin Akram is a person of color, though, as well, because she's...
I'm half Pakistani. I'm just hiding it really well. I came out white.
Particularly for those podcast listeners.
And really, they were teamed together because they went to drama school together.
Oh. We're both Irish.
The fact that you're both black is an accident.
Yeah, no, we went to black school together, so yeah. Definitely on purpose.
So Desiree Birch, how are you diverse?
Well, let's see. I have this accent, which points me out as being a Southern Canadian, also known as American. I am part... That's how I'm going to identify for at least 4 more years. I am part French and part German and obviously very black as well.
Athena Coblenou, how are you diverse?
Oh, I'm from Ghana, Guyana, India, and I haven't cut my hair in 8 years.
Whoa!
Yeah, it's pretty diverse.
Wow. Nice. And Monsters of Rock, why are you called Monsters of Rock?
Why wouldn't we be called Monsters of Rock? That's the question you want to ask
Irish
yourself.
Irish women in our 30s and we're single, it makes sense to be called Monsters of Rock.
Yes, but Akram, how are you diverse?
Well, as you pointed out, Deborah, I am half Pakistani, half Irish. I also found out on Friday that I have a goiter, which is a disease from the 1800s, I think.
So it does sound a bit like scurvy or something.
Yeah, it's basically
not very modern.
Somebody said to me, I don't want to offend you, but you've got a lump on your throat. So then I had to go to the doctor, and the doctor went, can you not see that? And I was like, no. And then I just think I've had it for a long time. And then he said, are you tired? And I was like for the past 10 years. He was like, are you sweaty or cold? I was like, for the past 10 years. So now I've got the goiter, but I don't like the name goiter, so I'm calling it a French bump because I think it sounds more romantic.
Can you get rid of the goiter?
Well, I looked it up in the internet, and it said to just take more iodine. So I've done that. But then I also have to get a blood test. So I'm doing my form of treatment, which is the internet, and then I'm going to the hospital in the morning.
Yeah, I think that's good too. I think it's good. I think it's belt and braces.
Yeah.
Jessica Regan, how are you diverse?
Well, I am also Irish, and woo! I'm so Irish. Thanks for that, Yaz.
That's great.
I'm sort of so Irish, I'm blue. Like, we're not white in Ireland, we're actually kind of blue. We're kind of ghosts.
I hope you're not going to say Blue Lives Matter.
Well, they did in 1847 when you took all our potatoes. It's not actually what happened, guys. But do look it up. It's amazing how few English people know what it's about.
Uh-oh, wrong room.
I'm Deborah Frances White, and I'm diverse because I am left-handed.
What?
Yes. Yeah. And also a woman hosting a panel show. Yeah. Making sure that none of these facts are crazy amounts of fun, please welcome in Pedant's Corner our lovable doctrinaire, Ned Sedgwick. And on keyboard and vocals, the very talented Mark Hodge. Mark Hodge, what makes you diverse?
I'm ethnically Irish, although I don't really sound it. I've only really been there twice.
Ethnically Irish, but only been there twice. So you're not convincing either Yasmin or Jess there.
Yeah, okay.
Just because a drink, it doesn't mean... You know.
I guess I'm one of those guys who Mike Pence wants to strap to an electric chair in order to convert back to the light side.
Yes, absolutely. And if you are listening in the future, yesterday was the big march. And if you're listening in the future, also sorry about the dystopian wasteland that Trump has left you in. Ned Sedgwick, how are you diverse?
It hasn't changed. Still white and straight and middle class. But I prefer smooth peanut butter to crunchy peanut butter.
Yes.
Very controversial. Yeah. Desiree, you also prefer smooth?
Yeah.
Is it because you like peanut butter and jam? Because it just makes it a much...
Well, it just drags it through the bread, and it's like a war zone afterwards of like, peanuts, you wanted me, now you have me. It's too much.
I couldn't have put it better myself.
I think you two are going to end up together.
Yeah. It's going to be so smooth, too. Hey.
On every episode of Global Pillage, our hive mind creates a special piece of what sometimes turns out as music unique for this show. Mark Hodge, take it away.
So who can give me a letter from A to G?
A.
I'm going to take D and C. All right. And what's the next one?
B.
Good. I'm liking it. Keep going. We've got next one.
A.
Even better. Next one.
G.
Do you know what? I'm going to have it.
What's the scores, please, Ned?
Well done. Sometimes it's easy, sometimes it's hard.
The first round is lost in translation. All the teams get a chance to answer, but you get more points if you buzz in first with the correct answer. The hive mind gets a chance to answer after both teams of comedians have answered. Fingers on buzzers. When Jimmy Carter held the first American press conference in a communist country, what did he surprise the Polish people by telling them? Monsters of Rock.
I think what you guys are doing is great and we should adopt it over here.
Unevenly weighted.
Well, he obviously told them that smooth peanut butter was better than crunchy peanut butter, as he was a peanut farmer.
Athena, do you agree?
Yeah, something like, we're not going to invade you because we like your peanut butter.
Yeah. Really?
He went to a Pulse's clip, and he was like, this is delicious.
Right, okay. So
we believe our answer. Stop questioning.
So, audience, hive mind, what did Jimmy Carter accidentally say when he tried to speak Polish?
By the way, he had a translator.
Oh, he had a translator.
Yeah.
Oh, he wasn't speaking Polish. So what did his translator tell the audience?
Black Friday.
It's Black Friday. anything else? What did Jimmy Carter accidentally say when he was in Poland?
I love war sores.
War sores, like electric sores.
Yeah. That would be an incredible war if everyone just had to go at each other with chainsaws. Like, I think we'd stop war soon.
So I love war chainsaws. Okay. Black Friday, buzz now. I love war sores, buzz now. In fact, he told them he desired them carnally. Ned Sedgwick, please explain.
So, basically, his team didn't really understand that Polish and Russian were quite a different language. So they hired a Russian translator to be his Polish translator.
Oh.
The Russian translator couldn't really speak any Polish, but instead of saying anything, he was like, yeah, I'll give it a shot. And he gave it a shot and didn't translate things very well. He meant to say, I like this country, it's quite good. Instead, he said, I really want to have sex with all of you.
But isn't that what that means if someone says, I like you, you're really quite good? Because that's how I interpret it when I hear it.
As a nation, yeah, maybe. Maybe he didn't mean it, and he was like, why is everyone getting so pissed off? I don't love it. He might have seen their Eurovision 2012 entry. Any Eurovision fans in the house know that reference.
So was everyone annoyed when he said it?
Everyone just laughed at him. They were like, this guy's an absolute mug.
I take it as a compliment.
But they fired that translator and got another translator who also couldn't really speak Polish, but this one just kept quiet. So he started speaking and looked at the translator, and the guy was just like, no, I'm out.
We definitely had auditions like that.
Wow. Imagine a time when American presidents come off as stupid. Why did HSBC struggle in China after it launched a new advertising campaign with the phrase, assume nothing?
Oh, shit.
Unevenly weighted.
It's assume nothing, when translated in sort of Mandarin, must just mean something that is against their interests. It just means, like, rob us. Or,
well, it is HSBC.
You know,
we're
break in, have a great time, steal our pens. You know, we all do it. We run out of pens. We go down to Metro Bank, we steal their pens.
Yeah. What decade are you in that you still go to a bank? I haven't been to a bank since like the 80s.
I'm old school.
You haven't been to the bank since the 80s? Oh, the best thing.
Deborah, poor people go to the bank and withdraw like.
If I want a little pen, I'll go to Argos.
Oh, well, that they are there. But also, there's bigger pens in the bank, and also
with chains on them.
They trust you now. When was the last time you went to a bank?
Before you, I guess.
Guys.
Maybe they see me coming and they're like, lock it down.
Put chains on all the pens. She loves stationery.
Okay, hive mind. Assume nothing, HSBC thought they said, but really they said,
we know nothing.
We know nothing. We're nothing. We've lost all your money. So if you think it's we know nothing, buzz now. If you think it's we're nothing, buzz now. If you think it's we've lost all your money, buzz now. In fact, it was mistranslated as do nothing.
I think unevenly weighted are going to get some points for that, for being the closest. And I suspected your actual answer wasn't entirely serious with the pens. So I've given you some points.
It was deadly serious.
Okay, so no points.
Unevenly weighted is about the pens.
That's how it's going to be. Given out points when it's not really fully the answer. Okay, we know. Mm. We know how it goes, right?
Assume nothing.
Due to a mistranslation by a Renaissance scholar, Moses is often painted with what on his head rather than a halo?
One of those tiny plastic hairbands that five-year-olds wear.
An Alice band.
I went too big too soon. I should have started off with something. But that's all I could see in my mind.
Is it Beyoncé? Because she'd be singing Halo. Mm-hmm. Yeah? No?
Moses is often portrayed with
Beyoncé on his head. Because when they were like, oh, Halo, like that amazing tune. And that's So
can we get a point for Beyoncé mentioning her?
Well, we haven't found out. It could be the right answer. We don't know yet. Unevenly weighted.
I think that it is translated as he has the whole conversation with the burning bush that is God. So instead of the halo, it's just his whole sort of like Mideastern afros on fire. It's like the beard and it's just flame shooting up toward the heavens instead.
Fiery hair?
Yeah, yeah. And a Beyonce up there who's like, whoo.
Yeah.
Or he led his people through the desert, but maybe they thought it was dessert. So maybe it was, you know, like a gatto or jelly. Jelly.
Yep.
Ice cream. Jelly and ice cream.
Jelly head.
It was
okay.
Yeah.
Hive mind. What is Moses often? Sorry?
Horns.
Anybody else? Stars.
A crown.
Okay. If you think it's a crown, buzz now. If you think it's stars, buzz now. If you think that the person who said horns said it with great authority, buzz now.
Yeah.
You are correct. It's horns.
Wow. How is it not Beyonce?
Did
I'm
you know?
Shocked.
That
I'm
really was shocked. This was Bake Off Tom who had that answer. Tom, do you know about this?
Dude, that's my theology degree. Finally paying dividends.
Nice.
Yeah, so it was Kavan and Kavon. Kavan means radiance and Kavon means horns. And the guy was like, oh, he had horns. That's surprising. And so everyone read it and they were like, well, we've got to paint him with horns. And it actually caused a bit of kind of, when anti-Semitism was rife, it caused problems. And it's where various depictions in medieval art of kind of anti-Semitic depictions of Jews. It came from that slightly.
Really?
Yeah, it did.
So was that guy a temp?
Not very funny.
And he just like really messed up and took something really literally. And you're like, oh man.
Yeah.
And it's just deal with this for thousands of years.
Well,
now.
Well, the ancient Romans thought Christians were cannibals because they ate the flesh of Christ.
Oh,
but they
on.
Were like, they eat flesh. That's
but they mad. Never bothered to taste that terrible crack that we actually eat.
Yeah, crack of flesh. And it's the end of the round.
Monsters of Rock in third place with no points.
Third place?
We said Beyonce. You get a point for Beyonce.
I just realised the audience were a team as well. I was like, so two teams. How can we be third?
In second place is Unevenly Weighted with 5 points. And with 10 points, it's a Hive Mind.
Well done.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Round is everyone's favourite round. Idioms! In Norway, they say, it doesn't look like the pig. What are they talking about when they say that?
Faken.
Faken. Vegetarian bacon.
I gave you a one-word answer there and it maybe required more explaining. Go to somebody else and then go back to me.
Okay, Unevenly Weighted.
So this is about the definite and indefinite article. Because obviously there's a pig, right? Just that's a pig. Oh, but that doesn't look like the pig.
Right.
Grammar, guys. It's grammar.
So it doesn't look like the pig, so what does it mean as an idiom?
Because
that doesn't look like the
there's,
pig.
There's a Norwegian prophecy about a pig that when it is born will be inedible because most pigs are edible. And that means when that pig is born, it's the saviour of all the pigs and we'll stop eating swine.
Ah, the pig messiah.
Yes, it's about the coming of the pig messiah.
The pig messiah.
So every time a pig is born, you're like, horns. Is it a pig or is it the pig? And we look at it and we're like, oh, it's just a pig.
Okay, so it's not the real... So you're saying... So the idiom means it's not the real McCoy. It's not the pig, the saviour of pigs.
Yeah, it's like a knockoff pig that you get with like a fake logo of Chanel on it, but it's not the real pig.
It's not it's the
a knockoff.
Pig.
Yeah. So it's not the real McCoy, it's a knockoff, okay? Yeah. Monsters of Rock.
Okay, I've been thinking...
She's got this.
I've got this. So I'm thinking a traffic warden because a pig is a police person and then you see them and you go, oh, is it the pigs? And they go, no, it doesn't look like the pig because it's somebody in a uniform, sure, but it's a traffic warden.
What I love
is that in this deconstruction, referring to police officers as pigs, you bother to say police person. To use inclusive language.
I don't use the word myself. I just think that's probably it.
Right. So, hive mind. It doesn't look like the pig. What does this mean?
It tastes better than it looks.
Tastes better than it looks. Great.
That you think it's your wife, but it's actually another woman.
Think it's your wife, but it's another woman. And you're here with your wife today, aren't you? Yeah, that's nice.
But not tomorrow.
It's really nice, Tom. Yes, your ex-wife is here with you today. Okay, anybody else? All right, so if you think it tastes better than it looks, buzz now. And if you think it's... Oh, that's not your wife, it's another woman. Buzz now. I'm shocked and appalled anyone buzzed for that. In fact, it means something is shoddy or ugly. Doesn't look like the pig. Explain that.
It's because pigs used to be incredibly valuable because you could get so much bacon and stuff from them. Nothing to do with wives. Yeah, wives are valuable, but maybe don't refer to... Yeah, it's just... I'm in no place to give marriage advice. I am single, though.
Well, you might be dating Desiree now. Yeah, you've got that whole peanut butter situation going
that
on.
That is what most relationships are based on. Yeah, Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
I'm going to be that jam. I'm going to stop.
Yeah, it's probably good.
His parents are here.
It's my fault. In Arabic, if somebody said to you, bury me, what would they be saying?
Like, bury me. B-U-R-Y or
B-U-R-Y?
B-U-R-Y, okay.
B-U-R-Y, bury me.
Bury me.
Not strawberry me.
Yeah, right.
Monster Rock.
I have a very quick story about this. A friend of mine brought a lady friend back, and he's from Dublin.
Oh, here we go.
And he brought a lady friend back to his... He was living with his mother at the time, and the next day, he thought he'd gotten away with it, thought he'd been very quiet. And the next day, his mother was very quiet, and she turned off the television, and she said, if I have to hear you bury some young one ever again. Yeah, so that's what it means sex. In Dublin. Does that mean... Yeah.
In Dublin, it means sex.
It means
go at it hard.
Yes.
Okay. All right, go at it hard. Well, unevenly weighted.
I feel like it might be somewhat related, but maybe like, you know, like be the one to bury me, like almost like marry me. Like, I love you. Be the one to like live with me until I die. Like, be the one to
that's
bury
beautiful.
Me.
Is that what you're asking Ned right now?
Yes. When I die of diabetes from all of the peanut butter and chili sandwiches, please bury me.
Okay, hive mind. What do you think it means? Bury me. Yes.
Forget my sins.
Mm. Okay. Nice.
I'm so embarrassed.
I'm so embarrassed. Oh, yeah. Bury me. Mm. Yeah, it's like let the ground swallow me up.
Bed me.
Bed me.
That's what we're thinking.
Do you know what I mean?
No, that's our answer, not what we're
okay, if you Moving think on. It's forget my sins, buzz now. If you think it's I'm so embarrassed, buzz now. If you think it's bed me, buzz now. Oh, no, nobody's gone for your answer. In fact, it is unevenly weighted, had it right, it's I love you.
I'm in the most morbid way possible.
Yeah, no, it's I want to die before you.
Oh.
So I don't have to live without you.
Yes.
Oh, that is lovely.
Beautiful.
That doesn't mean that in Dublin. Really doesn't mean that in Dublin.
Didn't get that far.
I can't live without you, so bury me. Oh, that is beautiful. In Denmark, if somebody said, I am out with a rake, what would they mean?
You are out with an incredibly thin person. That's, like, obvious.
Out with a slender person. Okay, out with the rake.
It just means that you've left the toilet seat up again and go sleep outside with the rake.
Ah. So I'm annoyed with you.
Like,
get
kind
out
of like,
with the
I'm
rake.
Out with the rake like I'm in the doghouse. Like I'm, you know, like just outside cleaning up crap. Because
totally.
Okay. Yeah.
In the doghouse, okay? Hive mind. Out with the rake. Left the loose seat down. So that's a male answer to leaving the loose seat up.
Yeah, it's about positioning of that.
Right, okay. But you say that, sir, but the loose seat should go down because that's it being closed and it's actually more hygienic if you close the lid as well. So you've just left it up. Like, it's not that we object to you putting it up for your doings. We understand you have to do that, but just put it down again. It's not too much to ask. So you're wrong and I'm not accepting that answer. It's not. No. Anything else, hive mind? You're a boring person. What, the rake is the boring person? Yeah. Oh, you're out with a rake. Oh, I was out tonight with a rake. So basically, I just sat there like a rake. You're very prickly today.
That's just an observation.
Prickly?
It's that toilet seat thing. It really pisses her off.
Anything else?
Not having the tools for the job, because it snows a lot there, and a rake wouldn't
help. Ah, not having the tools for the job.
It's a really okay. intelligent answer.
Out with the boring person, Buzznow. Very prickly today, Buzznow. You don't have the right tools for the job, Buzznow. No, almost unanimous for that. In fact, it means you're out looking for trouble. You're out in the town, you've taken a rake, you're going to beat somebody up.
Oh, yeah.
Who brings a rake to a fight? That's insane. Someone like, who wants meet to me win. After school, 3 o'clock, just like, ah!
Apparently in Denmark, they take a rake to a knife fight. And it's the end of the round.
Monsters of Rock are keeping it steady in third place with no points. The Hive Mind is slightly ahead with 10 points, but unevenly weighted are winning with 15 points.
Oh, they are unevenly weighted. The next round is the teams round. A member of each team has come theoretically prepared, if they read my text, with a question based on their cultural family background. Audience, if one of you has a question for one of the teams, that would be super awesome. So, Monsters of Rock, do you have a question for unevenly weighted?
So, this is like a cultural question from our culture?
Yes, please.
From drama school.
From drama school slash art.
That's not our culture.
On behalf of me and Jessica, we'd like to ask, what's Bono's problem?
Unevenly weighted? What's
it's
Bono's
we've
problem?
Been having the answer to this for so long. I'm so glad someone finally asked.
What is Bono's problem?
Bono hates black people.
Whoa, we can't put that's that
why,
out.
That's why he does all of these helpful things.
He's just because this is the internet and not the BBC doesn't mean we can actually call Bono a racist.
I mean, someone needs to call him something. I feel like he's a bit high on self-righteousness,
he's
I think.
He's a bit of a supremacist.
Wait a second. He? I mean, what's wrong with Bono? Isn't it like glaucoma or something? Like, doesn't he actually have
oh,
something wrong with
him? Oh, yeah, he does have.
So I think that is the right answer, actually, technically.
No, actually, I liked Bono up until, like, 95. Like, 1995. There was an, and after that, he just kind of stopped making music.
I that like is the 20 idea years ago.
Yeah, you were, like, a judgmental 8-year-old at the time. Like, oh, you know, Bono's kind of jumped the shark for me, personally.
You know, Joshua Tree was great. And then what happened? We don't know.
Yeah, he flew his hat on a plane to himself. That wasn't the sentence.
Oh. Yes, yeah, true story. Yeah.
He was going on about...
The environment, I think he was in an environmental, like, fundraising thing, and he forgot his hat, so he flew it out in a private jet.
That is horrifying.
That's also what's wrong with the world at large. Yeah. Like.
So is that Bono's problem? Is that the right answer?
No, the right answer is...
Too much money, not enough height.
Yeah.
So...
Oh.
He's
sorry
a small
about
guy.
It.
Quite
that doesn't feel inclusive, that answer. That
but it's the right answer, Deborah, and sometimes the truth
we,
hurts.
I'm afraid on this show, we cannot countenance apartheid.
Oh.
It's a goodies joke, don't blame me. Unevenly weighted, do you have a question for the hive mind?
Yeah, so I brought a question from America. In 20th century New York, so, you know, very recently, if you were said to be suffering from Bright disease, what might you have?
Too happy, okay. Anything else?
Too intelligent.
Too clever.
To be American.
Too clever to be American.
Yep, that's why I left.
Starstruck? All right, Buzz if you think it's too happy. Buzz if you think it's too clever to be American. Buzz if you think it's starstruck. All right, they said too clever. What is it?
Well, that's kind of right. Bright disease meant you had information that might get you hurt or killed, particularly by the mafia.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Cool.
That's
a really cool fact.
It's too knowledgeable, I suppose, yeah?
Yeah.
Ned? No, I just...
Yeah.
I don't know if it's up to you whether you
Thank
give a point.
You. Oh, yeah, no, definitely give a point for that. I thought you were saying you're in trouble, Ned, because you know a lot about the mafia. Don't say that online.
You should run, probably do. Well, yeah, I probably shouldn't have asked you to do the mafia round, because that's really put you in a bad position now.
He was ahead of the mafia, secretly.
I would be so happy if Ned was actually a member of the mafia, because it would be the deepest cover I would have ever seen of anyone. I mean, the guy's a genius.
Yeah, I mean... I thought it was going to be something to do with Interpol's album, Turn on the Bright Lights, and that shows just how not in the mafia I am and how much of a middle-class white person I am.
So that excuse is not going to save you from the mafia. I'm sorry.
No. When you're giving that excuse while you're being dangled upside down from a building.
Well, it was Interpol. You know Interpol? No.
Hive Mind, do you have a question for Monsters of Rock?
So in Australia, what are you doing when you slip, slop, slap?
Whoa. I mean, everything, what aren't you doing?
I was going to say,
I know this one.
Everything in my mind is dirty.
You slip, slop, slap. Do you get the Twister mat and you put loads of water on it with a hose and you play Twister, but you're slippity sliding all over the place?
A new form of Twister. Twister with risks. Risker. Oh, or is it you're trying to hold on to some slip sort of sea creature that's got quite wet
from the sea,
wrestling an octopus?
Yes, or a seal. That was what seal was in my mind.
Can I say the answer because I know it?
Okay. Yeah,
it's
sure.
Sunscreen. It's a big sunscreen campaign.
Cool.
That's only partially right.
Yeah. Oh, is it only partially right?
Yeah, okay. You're meant to slip on a t-shirt.
Slip on a shirt, slip on sunscreen, and slap on a hat. Yes.
So, oh, it's like
I only get a third of a point there.
You don't get any points, Deborah, because you said everything she was saying kind of a split second after. So you split the split on? Yeah, oh, yeah.
That old trick.
There was a song, wasn't there? Slip on a shirt, slap on sunscreen, and slap on a hat.
Yep, yeah. So it's a bit like crossing the road safety songs.
Yes.
Okay.
But in Australia, the advertising campaign for drinking and driving was, if you drink and drive, you're a bloody idiot. That was the official government campaign. Do you remember that one? Yeah.
Unsurprisingly, in Ireland, there's very little sunscreen advertising, but quite a lot of drink driving ads.
Yeah. And we sort that out ourselves. Yeah. So.
And it's the end of the round.
Monsters of Rock have scored and now have 5 points.
Wait, for what?
Because they didn't get your question.
Oh, so it's by default.
Thank you, Bono.
Pity
points.
Do
you get points if they don't get your question? I didn't know that.
I tend to do it if a team hasn't scored.
Take them back because we don't want them. We want it on our intelligence, which
we'll take
proven.
Those points. We'll keep them.
This is like reverse affirmative action. I don't like it.
Monsters of Rock are in third place with no points.
Done!
Wow.
And unevenly weighted Hive Mind are drawing with 15 points.
Next round is our World War II sexting round. During World War II, sweethearts sending each other telegrams would use acronyms to disguise the true nature of their communications because letters were being censored. So, for example, Norwich stood for Knickers Off, Ready When I Come Home. This is the round in which we learn that while our grandparents were fighting fascism, they were also utter filth. The teams will have 30 seconds, pen, paper, and Mark Hodge lightly distracting them with World War II music to solve this acronym. Hive Mind, you can use the notes in your phone or your heads. And the word is capstan. Do you have an answer for us?
We have the answer.
You have the
answer. Yes.
Points can be scored for creativity. So.
Yes. Capstan stands for cook a pie, shove this anywhere nasty.
Wow. Dare I ask, Monsters of Rock?
We have, can a person suck tits and not, and then get caught in
front of certainly one of the more creative arts there, adding some letters in.
Yeah. And not, in brackets, get caught.
Yes, and the acronym, you know.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
Absolutely. That was a bit of a Yasmin acronym, though, what that was.
Yasmin acronym.
Oh, that's a show. Yeah. We're going to do that show. Yeah. No one's going to come.
Hive Mind. Yes.
Can a private stay in the night?
Oh, can a private stay another night? A lovely World War II one, and not too filthy.
Climb above my penis, sit tight all night.
Climb aboard my penis, sit tight all night. In fact, the real one was, can a prick stand twice a night? Which was not anywhere near as good as the Hive Minds. So while Ned works out the points for creativity there, the final round is the Smash the Patriarchy round. For our final round, we have just one question about a minority group who successfully rose up and managed to overcome their hardships and throw off the yoke of oppression, also known as the Stick It to the Man round. This round only contains one question because Ned Sedgwick assures me this doesn't happen very much, and when it does, it's not funny because people die. But so it is worth double points. So if you are the losing team, this may be your opportunity to stick it to the man because you are the underdogs. Of course, if you are in the lead, understand you are now the man. I'm looking at you, Hive Mind. In what way does Ensemble Two Generations try to overcome the limit on affordable housing?
What?
What? So I don't understand the language.
So how does this social enterprise called Ensemble Two Generations overcome the problem of unaffordable housing for students and young professionals just starting out?
Unevenly weighted.
It's for students, right? So it must mean that students move in with, like, older people.
Yeah, and students, so the students
just
can, like...
Just give us our points.
Come home and cook pot noodles for older people, who remember the good old times.
And the old people do their homework.
Yeah.
Possibly. Monsters of Rock?
That was our answer, too.
Oh, yeah, right, yeah.
Hive Mind? That's your answer. Ned, I think you gave it away, because there wasn't the students' part in the original question. There was just
the
two generations.
Yeah, but didn't really make linguistic sense.
But then in making it make linguistic sense, you told them the answer.
Anyway, it turns out that you were right.
We were all right. All of us were right.
It's actually a really nice thing, though. And it's for old people, pensioners who live alone, basically have a student live with them that kind of cut price. So it solves kind of... the aging population and lots of people being lonely, and also the fact that students can't live in cities where they would want to live.
In a very real way, though, does that smash the patriarchy, or does that just live within its boundaries? Because the patriarchy has created a situation in which millennials like you will never afford real estate.
Yes.
Well, I would say it does smash the patriarchy in terms of, like, you know, there are two sort of entities not necessarily buying into the traditional capitalist systems of, like, oh, we've got to take out loans and do other things in order to be... It's like, no, right. We can support each other. And also, I think it's quite funny, the idea of, like, students coming home to, like, you know, elderly people, because, like, both of them are in the situation where they could just be, like, randomly
It's a really
up.
Good sitcom, isn't it?
You know? No, seriously, right? Because when you're in college, like, you're doing all kinds of crazy discovering things, and when you're old, you're just, like, having sex with whoever's left. And so it could make a great sitcom. It's like
a really dating romp,
you know?
Oh, this is a great idea for a sitcom.
Right.
And also, there's an interesting thing that if you really get on with them and you become like a grandson or granddaughter, maybe they'll leave their property to you.
Yeah.
So I think this is a really good sitcom and we should definitely write it. And there's a competition on Global Pillage for if you can come up with a name for the sitcom, then we will give you a credit in the titles
and no money. Hurry Up and Die.
And it's the end of the show.
What's the Scorsese's net?
Monsters of Rock kept it steady all game.
It's very, like a rock.
This very rarely happens. So it's 0 points for them. Okay. Then, in second place, it was a Hive Mind.
Oh!
With 25 points, and winning was Unevenly Weighted. With
Unevenly Weighted.
Bravo.
Well done. It's very rare that two comedians can beat 70 audience members, so you've done incredibly, incredibly well there.
And we have a new pilot for a sitcom.
I mean, it's the best win-win.
It's not just because me and Desiree are getting married. Yeah. That is a separate...
It's almost like we should withhold your fee. You've done so well.
Almost like
feels that. Like slavery again.
Wow! Wow! Wow!
Like, to mention it once, guys. Yep.
That's why we're a team.
So, I suggested at the top that you should call your team White Guilt. I am retrospectively changing the name of it. Yep. So, I desire you carnally to the losers and do nothing to the winners. It's the end of the show. Please join me in thanking Monster Rock and I've Unevenly Weighted. Give it up for Athena Cableno, Desiree Butch, Jessica Regan, Yasmin Akram, Ned Sedgwick and Pettis Corner, Mark Carl Junkies. I've been Deborah Francis White. Good night. You have been listening to Global Pillage, hosted and created by Deborah Francis White. The questions were set by Ned Sedgwick. Music was by Mark Hodge. The recording engineer was Chris Sharp. The producer for the spontaneity shop was Tom Zielinski. Thanks to Zoe, Meta, Sally, and everyone at King's Place. More information about this and other episodes, visit globalpillage.net.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.